Hey up everybody, my name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about finding things to watch, right? Because in the past, you know, you had your TV, right? And you would stick the TV on and you would flip through the channels, and that was your decision. What channel are you going to watch, right? So you would turn the TV on and it would be on ITV2 because your mum had just been watching it, and you would think, well, I don't really want to watch ITV2 and, like, you know, call the midwife and stuff. I want to watch, you know, World's Wildest Police Chasers. So I'd flip it from ITV2 to ITV4, and that would be my little decision because I wanted to watch Police Interceptors or whatever, that kind of thing, right? And you can kind of bring that forward into the modern day of 2025. And now, instead of having a TV that you turn on and then it's basically just a case of choosing between, say, 5 to 100 channels, depending on if you've got Freeview, if you've got Sky, you've got like 1,000 channels. But really, if you've got that, you're not watching 99% of them. You know, you're not watching channel like 688 on Sky TV. I think that's a shopping channel. But you're not watching all these things. They've got like 100 channels for sport, and you might only watch one of those channels for sport. You're certainly not watching all of them. You don't need all these channels. And to take that further into the modern day with, you know, YouTube and stuff, is that, so I turn on YouTube and I get greeted with the homepage, and the homepage has all sorts of stuff on it, right? So at the moment, my homepage has Dream Theater, What Did They Say, plus Wipeout, plus Canadian Rap. Then it's got some stuff about ChatGPT is too woke, which I'm not interested in. Then it's got something about Frankie Boyle, which I don't care about. Then it's got a channel called The Soy Pill, which I've watched a little bit of. But that was only because it came up on here. It came up on this little feed, right? And because it came up on the feed, it was right in front of me. That's kind of similar to when you would go on, you know, channels and you would flip from ITV2 to ITV4. It's got the same kind of thing here, but instead of there only being 100 channels, it just goes down and down and down, and it just keeps going, and it will never end this. I could just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, right? And it's never going to stop, right? Because it's an infinite algorithm, right? It's an infinite feed, right? And because of that, that means that I have so much choice that how am I supposed to choose what I want to watch? And then on top of that, there's the little search thing. And, you know, I don't know what I want to search immediately. Because if I wanted to watch Police Interceptors or World's Wildest Police Chasers on ITV4, right, I knew that there wasn't that much on TV anyway, right? I knew that at 6 o'clock The Simpsons would be on. So at 6 o'clock, I knew I'd want to watch The Simpsons. So I'd change it to Channel 4. And, you know, if it's daytime TV, I know that ITV4 is always playing random police stuff, or Challenge, the TV station's always playing old game shows. And that was just a straight, easy little bit of content, as we call it now, right? But now, I don't have that. I don't have just a small selection of channels to choose from, where the idea of pumping a certain thing to me is a little bit more wholesome in a way, because I feel like, you know, Challenge TV, it's nice, calming sort of thing like that, or reality TV, and, you know, you're in the internet now, and you kind of look back at all of that as being a bit antiquated. But just yesterday, I went to someone's house and they had a TV license. I haven't had a TV license for about 10 years. And so I've just been watching stuff on the internet, or like Netflix and stuff. And if I want to watch something on Netflix, I don't watch anything on Netflix, because I sit there and I think, oh, I don't really want to watch that. Oh, I don't really want to watch that. Oh, I don't really want to watch that. And I just keep doing that again and again and again and again and again. But with a TV, I don't have that luxury, because it will just put on what it puts on, right? And as a result, there's not that paralysis of choice, paralysis of a decision. I'm free to just put it on and just let it do its job of entertaining me, rather than me having to entertain myself by finding what the perfect thing for me is that is, you know, perfectly accustomed to my taste. Because your feed isn't going to have like the stuff that is on my feed, and that'll be the same for every single person. You know, we all have different feeds. You ever notice, right, say someone comes over to your house and they put a few YouTube videos on, right, that your homepage starts to look a bit different, and it starts to start recommending stuff that they like, right? And if you go to their house, you'll see now that your feed that looks like what they were putting on, their feed always looks like that. And if you go to someone's house, right, and you put on something that's to your taste, then you go back to that person's house a couple days later, they've got your stuff on their feed, right? And that's kind of neat how we can have this individuality to it, but at the same time, it's a bit of a problem because it means that we're all so splintered off that it's hard to find common ground of people. You know, you'll sort of go, oh, have you seen this YouTube channel? And they won't have seen it because it's a random YouTube channel with like 30,000 subscribers. And, you know, there's tens of millions of channels with 30,000 subscribers out there, you know? So it's nothing special. So you're just sitting there with all of this stuff that's pumped and is almost like it's made for you. And obviously there's other people that it's made for, but you don't see those people. They're off in the distance. You know, like when I was in school, people go like, oh, did you see Thingy on Channel 4? Oh, no, I didn't see that. I was watching ITV. Oh, but then someone else over there was like, oh, I saw that on ITV. That was brilliant. And, you know, you had that common ground. You could talk about stuff. I feel like now you can't quite do that. There's not that same level of being able to have a chat about a bit of content. I mean, obviously we have like some big YouTubers. We all know, like, you know, your KSIs and your Logan Pauls and stuff, but we don't actively sit down and watch them. You know, I've never met a Logan Paul fan in my life. And like, I'm of the age demographic where I should know some people that are into Logan Paul. In fact, if I was like a few years younger, I'd be the perfect target demographic for Logan Paul. And yet I've never found anyone that's around this age bracket that's meant to be the perfect target demographic for Logan Paul that actually likes him. And yet he's got tens of millions of subscribers. He's always in the fucking news. I can't escape him. He's just everywhere. And I barely know anything about him, right? I don't know if he's any good. I doubt it, because I mean, he did the whole Suicide Forest thing. That wasn't very nice of him. But you know what? In the past, you had all these like characters and stuff on the TV. Like, I'm talking about personalities that hosted, like, you know, game shows and stuff. Like, the guy that did Family Fortunes, Les Dennis. You know, you'd know him. You know, you wouldn't know him personally, but you'd know what Family Fortunes was about because you'd see him. And I feel like loads of people would watch Family Fortunes, or loads of people would watch, you know, The Only Way is Essex. And, you know, at the time, I would look at, like, stuff like The Only Way is Essex and go, oh, what a load of trash. But at least there was a commonality where people could talk about the stuff that they'd watched. But now you don't quite have that. Like at the moment, I'm really into Dream Theater, right? And I don't know anyone else who's currently really into Dream Theater. So I'm kind of just like on my own liking this thing. And it's a little bit lonely because, you know, no one else is really into this thing. And I can show someone a Dream Theater song and they go, oh, that's good. But they won't listen to any more of it. And I don't expect them to or anything like that, because they've got their taste in music and I've got mine. And when they show me something that they like, I sit there and go, oh yeah, this is good. This is goodness. And then I never put it back on. I never go back to it, really. So we're all splintered off. We're all in our own little universe. And I don't think that that's the best way to be. I feel like we would be a lot more, you know, because people talk about how the modern day has kind of caused division. You know, there's all the division in politics and all that sort of stuff. And I think the division from politics, you can extrapolate that to more of a division in societal sort of norms and that kind of thing. We all splintered off into our own little groups. And the groups aren't in real life. The groups are on the internet. The groups are, you know, furries, for instance. So the furries all exist in their own little quadrant of the world. And they all meet up on the internet. But you don't, you know, you wouldn't have a furry friend and you're a furry and you both go chatting about furry stuff. Or same with, like, what else is there? I don't know. People that like mukbangs. You know, there's probably loads of people that like mukbang, right? But I don't like mukbang, and I'm sure I know some people that like it, but I don't know anyone who talks to someone else about mukbangs. They all just sit and watch it on their own. We don't have that common appreciation of certain things. You know, you have it with movies, but most people now, when they talk about like movies and stuff, we're talking about movies from at least 5 years ago, usually more like 10, 15, 20 years ago. We're talking about TV shows that are like from 2002. We're not talking about TV show. I've not seen any TV shows in the 2020s. Actually, that's a lie. I've seen Why Women Kill, series one. That was quite good. And I've seen Squid Game. That was all right. But it had a cliffhanger at the end. And apparently series two of Squid Game's good, but like, fuck off. It was fine as it was. You didn't need to end it on a cliffhanger. You made your point about capitalism, right? And then you go and put a sequel hook at the end of it in like the most ultimate form of irony. And then you go and make a game show out of it, completely missing the point of the TV show originally, which is that we shouldn't be doing this. But anyway, I just think that it's a bit of a problem that we're splintering off and we're fracturing into these little groups because of algorithms, because algorithms control our personalities now. you know, like, I've probably only got into Dream Theater because it kept spitting Dream Theater out of me, because I like bands that are semi-adjacent to that. You know, I like Tool, and I like a bit of King Gizzard and stuff like that. And it probably saw what I was listening to and was like, this guy will probably like Dream Theater. And it turns out he does, right? But, you know, I didn't find it through, like, the top 200 of the Billboard or whatever. You know, and that's the way that people would have found music. They would have gone to a record shop and, like, put the record on, and there would have been that common ground. You know, metalheads could all come together and show a metal band to one another. You know, but now there isn't quite that same thing. And now people meet up via, like, Facebook things, where it's all pre-organized and pre-determined and stuff like that. And it's a little bit like going to the, you know, the old ladies' sewing committee at the local library, but it's just metalheads. You know, because we've all arranged it in a pre-determined way, and it's all planned and figured out properly and delicately beforehand. And I just don't think that it's quite the same, really. I do understand that it's good to have choice. And I like the fact that I have more choice now compared to, do I want to watch ITV3 or ITV4, or do I want to watch BBC2, you know? I'm glad that I have more choice than that, but I feel like it's gone too far the other way, and too much of a good thing is always bad for you. If you know how they say an apple a day keeps a doctor away, but if you just ate a barrel of apples, you'd be straight into that fucking clinic, right? Because too much of a good thing is never good for you. Because say if you were, it's the same way they say money doesn't buy you happiness. If you get the most money in the universe, you're not going to be a happy individual. You know, like, if you just planted, you know, infinite rose bushes in your garden, you wouldn't be able to go in your garden without getting stung. So I just think that it's nice to have more choice than what we did, and it's nice that I can find stuff that's a little bit, like, catered towards me and my taste, right? Because maybe it helps me to figure out who I am a little bit. But then, is it me that's making these decisions? Sure, I made the decision to click on the fucking Dream Theater for the first time and then realized I liked it and came back to it more. I made the decision to watch that original Soy Pill YouTube video, and now I quite like his YouTube video, so I've gone and watched the rest of them. And now I've watched them all, so I'm probably not going to... I'll maybe re-watch a couple of the best ones, and then I'll find another YouTuber. And that's just what happens, you know? They just get added to the fucking pile. And now it's all just commodified, and I feel like at least when... You know, sure, it was all corporatized and stuff before, but because there wasn't that much of it, there was more of a... authenticity to it, because you had to get something out of it, because this was all you had. You didn't have much more of variety of choice, and now we have so much variety of choice that it paralyzes us. That's why these YouTube Shorts things here, this is why these are so powerful to people now, why people get addicted to them. You know, you just start watching one, and you watch another, and another, and another, and another, and you end up finding yourself like 45 minutes in, and you realize you've been in a trance, and you snap yourself out of the trance. Like, what am I doing? I'm wasting my time just doing this. Right, and you keep doing that, and you finally snap yourself out of it. But that's what we used to have, but to a lesser degree. It's gone too far back that way, and I feel like everything's a bit unstable now. Whereas before, you know, you knew that all you had to watch was The Simpsons, Come Dine With Me, Doctor Who, and Ren and Stimpy, and that was your lot. And everything else on telly sucked, but if that was on, that was good. And if that wasn't on, then you could always go on Challenge TV, and whatever was on there would be pretty decent. You know, they'd have, like, you know, Bullseye or Catchphrase or, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, stuff like that. And that was just a nice thing that you could just chuck on, you know. But now, say you go to someone's house, right, and you're showing one another various things. I feel like everyone is able to just pull stuff out that is just them and their personality so easily, but I struggle because I feel like I've been given everything to me, so I don't know how to find something myself. I never use the search function, really, apart from to find something that the YouTube algorithm already showed me that I'm interested in. I never think, oh, I want to watch a video about monkeys, so I type in videos about monkeys. I don't do that because it's not 2009 and we've just discovered search terms and stuff. Now we're all used to that sort of thing, so we just don't bother with it. There's not that sort of thing that you find in an interesting way. Now everything just gets shoved to you by an algorithm. And I just think that it could be a little bit better than this. I think that we could have more of a, a middle ground where we have some stuff, the idea that I had, I think they might have done it, I'm not sure, is that maybe it's not on Netflix, on like Disney Plus or one of the other fucking things, right? Is what you do, there's a button that's called like TV channel mode. and you go on Netflix and you click the TV channel mode, and it'll be like channel 1, channel 2, channel 3, channel 4, and they'll all be a little bit different. Like channel 1 will be a bit like for like middle-aged mums, channel 2 will be for middle-aged dads, and channel 3 will be for the kids, and channel 4 will be for the nan, and channel 5 will be for the uncle, and that kind of thing, right? And that's pretty nice. It's nice that that's a thing. I think we should do more of that. We should have more of a feed that doesn't require us to think so much, but at the same time, like, I like the tailoring to us aspect of it, but I feel like we shouldn't have stuff so tailored to us that it fits us snugly. I feel like it shouldn't fit us snugly. I feel like it should be a bit loosely fitting so that it can fit more people, so that we can find common ground of one another, and that we can go, oh, you like that thing as well. Because at the moment, they're not going to find that real thing, because there's so many things that how am I supposed to know if that person likes it? Because there's so many things out there that they like that and I like this, and we're just never going to find one another, because there's so many things out there that the chance of, you know, finding that common ground just reduces. Because back when there were only 100 channels, if I met 100 people, guaranteed one of them will like the same TV channel I do. But now there's like billions of YouTube channels, and I'm never going to meet billions of people. So it's not really going to work, is it? So yeah, that's basically the point of the video, is that I'm a little bit frustrated with the state of algorithms and how, you know, I don't want it to go straight back to what we had, but I don't like what we have now either. And I'm sure whatever comes in the future, I'll probably look back at now with a bit of a nostalgia. And I think that that was the better system, because I do think the TV channel system was a bit better. But, you know, I don't know. When I watched TV, right, yesterday, when I went to a friend's house and we watched some TV, it was like watching TikTok, but long form. It's when you scroll through the channels, right, and you just get a bit of like, and then you get a little bit of a person going, oh, do you like this dish? And then you get a bit of a person going, don't you be showing that to my child, eh? And then you just, you know, you're skipping through them and you get a few little lines like that, the same way that if you're scrolling, whoops, whoop, whoop, like that, you get a few, like, couple first seconds of the feed of the TikTok or whatever. You get the same kind of thing by flipping through TV channels. But when you stay on it, the TikTok lasts longer than like a minute. Now it lasts for like 30 minutes or an hour. And there's adverts in between. That's something else I noticed, by the way. There's less adverts on the not like there's less like adverts in terms of the runtime of the adverts. There's just less adverts. So you see repeats of adverts more often. I watched TV for about 2 hours yesterday, right? And I was starting to see the same adverts being repeated again and again. That never used to be the case when I was a kid. You'd see a repeat maybe every couple days. So maybe it's because less people watch TV, so there's less marketplace. So, you know, all the adverts seemed like they were more tailored for old people anyway. Yeah, I don't know. It's a bit of a vent. It's a bit of a just, I'm frustrated with the state of things as they are, and I'd like things to be different. But I want them to be a bit like today and a bit like the past. I don't want it to be something completely different. I want a meld of both, and that would do me nicely. That would do me really well. And so yeah, let me know what you think about that, whether we should have a little bit of a meld of you know, the old system combined with the new. Do you think that maybe the TikTok thing is kind of exactly what I'm talking about, and I'm, you know, just rejecting what I've been offered? Do you think that TV, I'm maybe over romanticizing it? Do you think that it was always terrible and like I didn't really enjoy Police Interceptors that much at the time anyway? Or do you think that maybe I'm right and that, you know, now we can't get on with one another, with, you know, our fellow man, and find common ground on various bits of movies and art and TV shows and stuff, because we all watch different things that are catered to us because we all search for it now? Yeah, just let me know your thoughts on that. And yeah, take care, everybody. Have a good rest of the day. Love you all. And yeah, stick around for more of this. I go to like places in the world and just sit and do this really, and just get my thoughts out there on stuff. And I recommend that you do it as well, because, you know, it's fun. It's an enjoyable activity. I know I don't look like I'm having fun doing it, but like, I'm having the time of my life right now. So yeah, have a good one, everybody. Take care, and love you all. Bye bye. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzles, or Lessons in Confidence. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about 2024, going into 2025, because, you know, we've been in 2025 now for a decent little bit of time. You know, we're coming up on a month into 2025, and I just wanted to share some thoughts on where I sort of want to go with 2025 and how 2024 sort of went. So 2024 for me was an incredibly transitional year. I've watched a couple of these, you know, videos by people sort of going on about their year going into the next one. A lot of people seem to have said that 2024 was just kind of whatever for them. I don't have that experience. For me, 2024 was easily the largest shift in my life in terms of like going into it and coming out of it. So when I went into 2024, I was a bit of a wreck. I wasn't a very happy person. You know, divorce had just sort of happened and I was still sorting all that out and I wanted to talk to solicitors and stuff. And that wasn't much fun. And then got like just bad news after bad news. You know, a couple people had to cut out my life, that kind of thing. Not stuff I really want to get into, but it was just not fun stuff. It was miserable, miserable shite, right? And it got to the point where I decided, right, Josh, here's what you need to do. You need to start going to the gym. And I'd been thinking about doing this for a while, but I was kind of scared to because I thought about like the cancellation fees and stuff and you know how it's really hard to get out of going to the gym. And I thought what probably happen is I'll go to the gym and be really like motivated for like 2 weeks and then, you know, I'll get sick of it. And then I'm just paying a load of money to not go to the gym. I didn't want that to happen. But I was at that point where I needed to do something, anything to change what was going on, because this was something I couldn't carry on, right? So I started going to the gym. I signed up, went and bought like some shorts and some like gym shirts, like some stuff that you can sweat into, right? And I just started going on the treadmill, messing around on the machines, exploring the gym. Went, you know, the sauna and the steam room and stuff like that. It's all really nice. So I've started using going to the gym as an excuse to just like download albums. So what I would do is I'd just do YouTube to MP3 and just download a load of albums that like I've been meaning to listen to, but I hadn't actually gotten around to. Like stuff like In Utero and like Prince Purple Rain and like Outkast and stuff like that. And you know, I had a really nice time. I had this little routine of, and I still semi have this routine, of going to the gym and working out for the duration of one album. And then once the album's finished, I go back in the changing room, nip into the steam room and all that and have a nice little time. And yeah, that was my little routine. And it was a good routine. And I think it did me a lot of solid things. And I think that was what helped me to progress and to move on from stuff. You know how they say like, oh, you need to hit the gym and all this sort of stuff. And it will like, and they do it from this point of view of like, you know, I guess almost a grind set type thing. Like you need to bang it out so you can get mad fucking muscles and stuff. And it's like, I don't give a shit how muscly I am. I just want to feel good, right? So going to the gym helps me feel good and I actually kind of enjoy it. So, and if I get sick of it for a bit, I'm now at a point where I don't like beat myself up for not going to the gym for a couple of days. If I just think, right, I've got more important shit to do than going to the gym. I'm going to do the important shit. And then when I have more free time, I'll go to the gym. And I just see it like a hobby, like playing video games or something. That's how I see going to the gym. I don't treat it as like, you know, the most, like something that's ritualized into my head that I have to do it or like I'll feel bad. I don't take that approach anymore. And I think it's important to have that for a little bit. But then once you get used to the whole routine of going into the gym and you know a few people there and you're used to what you do and you have your little routine that you do at the gym, you do this and then you do this and then you do a bit of that and you do a bit of that and you do a bit of this and you do a bit of that, and you know what you're doing, right? And then you go to the swimming pool and you do a bit of that, right? I know exactly what I'm doing when I go to the gym. I do the same thing basically every single time. Very little experimentation at this point, right? And when I sort of started going to the gym and I was looking around, I was beating myself up a bit for not going like every single day, but for the first 2 months, I went every single day. A couple times I even went twice a day, right? And I figured out what I liked, what I didn't like, and I started to feel an awful lot better. And in May of 2024, I quit drinking. I'm not gonna say for good or anything like that. I've done a whole video about it. It's a miserable little video. Watch that if you want. I stopped drinking, and it was kind of not like a big deal at the time. I just wasn't for the foreseeable future. And by foreseeable future, I just meant like the next couple of weeks. I wasn't thinking about it long term, but now it's about 9 months nearly since I've had a drink. Maybe 8 months. I think it's 8 months, yeah. That happened in May, and that really helped, combined with the gym. I think both of those things helped me to just not see so much of a cloudy sky around me and to be able to actually understand my own place in the world and to figure out who I am and that kind of thing. And to start working harder and stuff, it freed my time up, because when I was drinking and stuff, I felt like I basically just resigned the day at about 8 p.m. Now I can kind of carry on semi-working until I just go to bed. And even when I'm in bed, I can still sit on the laptop and just like change a thumbnail or whatever. So that's fine. I worked on this little series called Phineas King, and I shot the first episode of that in February of 2024. And it's kind of a proof of concept. It's not nearly as good as any of the ones that came after it, because I was still figuring out what I was doing, and I was so nervous at talking to people on the side of the road that I barely speak to anyone. I think I interviewed one person in the entire thing. But yeah, the whole point of Phineas King is it's just this, like, it's basically a rip-off of Alan Partridge. That's how it started off, and I'm just trying to, you know, find him his own identity. I'm going to wear my influences on my sleeve. I'm not going to act like it's a hot... But, you know, it's a combination of that, a bit of David Brent, a bit of the day-to-day, Brass Eye, stuff like that. There's a little bit of all that kind of stuff in it, where it's a bit of a character. And as time goes on, I want to develop who Phineas King is. I wrote a backstory for him and figured out sort of who he is and what he's about and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's just sort of... What's good about it is you're just getting yourself creating more. I had this film that I've been working on. I shot it in 2021. And I think probably because I was drinking so much, I fell into a bit of a depression. And I didn't really focus on that. And I didn't figure out what to focus on for a long time. And quitting drinking allowed me to focus my instinct and my work ethic onto certain things. So I could just blast out this project and then blast out this project and then blast out this project and just get it all done, right? So I edited all of Sheffield Psychedelic, which is the film I shot ages ago. And it's looking really, really amazing. And it's at a point now where it's nearly complete. And I think it can come out possibly this year. I'm not going to promise anything because I'm not interested in announcing a release date until I know for a fact that that film is done and completely, completely done, right? And yeah, getting that done, which was a big weight on my shoulders, really helped open up my life a little bit. I went on a date. That was nice. Don't normally do that. I'm not a dating person. In fact, I think that might be the only date I've been on in my entire life. I don't know how I've been married, but I've never been on a date. I'm not counting like dates when you're already together. I mean when you're dating, when you're meeting a new person as a date, right? That was fun. Didn't work, but you know, it was nice. And I managed to get a song out of it. I wrote a song about it. Just because it was in the moment, you know, and I just thought, let's do that while I have the motivation now. Oh yeah, that's the point. I wrote an album, Decisions in Another Language, which is all about the divorce and stuff. But looking back at it, only like if it was to be released on vinyl, only side A is about the divorce itself. The second half is more about the moving on process and about figuring myself out in a wider world and all that bullshit. And then it ends on a track called Why These Things Happen, which doesn't have any lyrics, but the idea of the song is basically just to end the album on a more top-down or societal sort of look into why divorces happen, why, you know, when divorce was introduced in what, like the 70s or whatever, you know, immediately so many people just started divorcing straight away because obviously people have been wanting to get away from their shithead husbands and their shithead wives for quite a while. So, yeah, I wrote that. That was good. And then I did a few more Phineas Kings. I think I filmed five more, released four. One of them I wasn't super happy with, but I've looked back on it and I've re-edited it. And it's actually quite good. So I'm going to include that in what I'm going to call season two of Phineas King, which is currently being filmed in early 2025. Let's see. In terms of meeting up with friends and stuff, it was another big transitional year because I feel like my friend group shifted as well. Like, I just started meeting so many new people and making so many new friends. And it's like, I think about the friends that I had like 5 years ago and I don't speak to most of them. And I have new friends now who I speak to and who have become some of my best friends. And that's just amazing. You know, I love all the people that I've connected with over the past couple of years, particularly 2024. I think I met most of them. We had a phase in the summer of 2024. We went to this place called the Rhythm and Booze in Battersea, which is this lovely little pub that's now shut. Basically, it was just this really nice sort of jazz bar type thing, but basically no one went in there. And it was this really, like, you know, nice Art Deco-y kind of looking establishment where basically no one was in there. And you'd be sat there with you, your friends, one other group of friends, and the manager of the place. And you'd all just be sat at a table just talking like you're all one big friend group. And it was lovely. We'd have little jams and stuff. I've uploaded one of the jams to my channel, Morrison Productions, so you can watch that if you want. It's a 10-minute cover of Frankie Goes to Hollywood's The Power of Love. So it's like, and there's a guy with a flute on it, there's a guy on a piano, and we just took turns doing solos and stuff. I do the bass on that. There's no drums on it. I feel like if we had drums on it, it would genuinely be fucking like one of the best like things. It's so cool. Like, because of the flute and the piano, and there's two guitarists on it, and they're both fucking really good guitarists, and like it was amazing. I loved doing that. And going to the Rhythm and Blues and meeting all those people. It was so much fun. I loved that. It was great. And sadly, that place shut in September or October or something. I don't know when exactly. I only realised it was shut when we went there and it had become a new pub. And the new pub's not as good. They've made it just look a bit more like trashy, sort of. It used to look really antiquated and nice, but now it just sort of looks a bit shite. No offence to the people running it, by the way. It's still a nice place. I've been there since, but it's not the Rhythm and Blues. So, you know, that's one of it was one of my favourite pubs ever. That. Yeah, and then obviously in October of 2024, I started this YouTube channel, Johnny Mozza. The reason I started it wasn't to do these bloody motivational fucking whatever you think these videos are sort of things. The point of it was actually to make it as a marketing channel for the film Johnny Mozza's Lessons in Confidence, which I started working on in September. I went to a networking event where I met a few people that got involved with the film, and I pitched the idea to them. And I've been to another networking event last week, and I need to talk to all the people from that. So sorry I haven't got back to you yet. But I am planning on it. I'm going to do it either today or tomorrow. Yeah, I started the channel in October, and it kind of started being like successful pretty straight away. It found its audience very quickly. Like within the first week, it seemed to have found its audience. And I've just kind of kept up with doing it. I was doing two videos a day for like 3 months or something, and like that's not sustainable. It takes a lot of effort to do that. And I think because all of this stuff happened, right, this big transitional year from going from such a shit time in January of 2024 to what was quite a great time in October of 2024, having a great time with life and just being happy with yourself and content with yourself and not like getting yourself down about stuff, I think makes you more attractive, right? And so I met my girlfriend who's just like amazing, and but I mean, like everyone that talks about like their other half like just says they're amazing, so I can't think of like a way of saying it in a unique way other than just repeating what basically everyone else says in that sort of regard. But like for me, it feels really special. It feels like proper love, you know. And it's not something I talk about really on the channel, I just sort of feel like I wanted to keep this separate to like my personal life out of this. This isn't really necessarily my personal life. This is just sort of what my year was like, and I'm not giving you details. I'm not naming names or anything like that. I'm just telling you that I met someone who was absolutely fucking amazing, gorgeous, lovely, really genuine. I made her one of these sort of videos, but you're never gonna see that. I don't even have it anymore. I put it on a little hard drive, and she's got that. Maybe if I die and you could upload it or something like in the year 2080 or something, and maybe if that, you know, it's like B-sides or something. I don't know, I'm kind of just rambling. I'm working on a song for her at the moment called Big Word. It's going to be like this 20-minute long sort of progressive rock sort of symphony kind of thing with a brass band. It's going to be called Big Word. It'll probably have like 5 parts. You know how like these long songs, they come in like parts and these Roman numerals for the parts. So that'll be quite fun. And I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be in the Lydian mode, which is probably my favourite mode of music. And I met her in November, and it's been going really well. What else has happened? Went to France at the end of the year, and so I spent the 2024 to 2025 sort of period in France, which is the first time that's ever happened, like not being in this country, the UK, for a year to the next year sort of thing. Let's see, what else have I done? Went up north a couple times with my friend Lee. who has a YouTube channel which you should check out. He's got stuff on there, and he's like done stuff about the films that we've worked on, Scorched Earth, Connie Lynn, stuff like that. We've done loads of stuff together. We've gone up north loads of times, and just, yeah, he's one of my best mates. I don't know, that's basically the year. You know, it was a pretty big transitional year. I feel like I went out of 2024 feeling exactly the opposite of how I felt going into 2024, because 2023 to 2024 was a really crap New Year's. Nothing happened, and that for me is a bad New Year's. And I just felt really down. I was miserable all the time, and I was drinking too much. And, you know, and I saw some idealized version of myself, right? Some version of myself that I could surely make happen if I just put the work in. And you know what? I didn't really put the work in. And yet I seem to have found myself here anyway. And that's quite nice. You know, I'm not saying I did no work. I mean, 2 videos a day is all right, but like, they're not hard videos to make. They just take a bit of figuring out in terms of what to say and stuff. Going to the gym every day, that was like just sort of fun, really. And also it's an excuse to go to Lidl or Asda or whatever and just like get your shopping on the way back. I didn't do mad amounts of work. I didn't grind. I didn't wake up at like 6 a.m. every day and like, you know, work all the time nonstop. I kind of just pissed about and had fun with it and just enjoyed myself. And I think that's all you can ask for, really, is just trying to be the best version of yourself that you can be. That's what I feel like I am now. I feel like I am the best version of myself that I can be. And going into 2025, I want to take what I've gone into 2025 with and just, one, maintain it, and two, develop it. Basically just figure out who this, I'm going to call it a new me, because it does feel like a new me. It feels like a massive transitional point in my life where, you know, by the end of this year, I might not, obviously I'll be the same person, but I feel like things will be so unrecognizable to me. I feel like if I was to go and meet myself in, you know, New Year's Day 2026, right, I would have a chat with that version of me, and I would ask him how things going, and he would go, yeah, this is great, we're doing this and this and this. And I'd be like, what the fuck is any of this? I don't remember any of that. So no, we started that afterwards, after January, we did that later. So yeah, I want to do more stuff, more projects, more filming. I want to get Sheffield Psychedelic done and edited. I've got a couple other films that I want to get done and edited. I want to finish Johnny Mozza shooting that. If anyone wants to be a part of the Johnny Mozza Lessons in Confidence film, just send an email to officialmorrisonfilms@gmail.com. There's not much else to say, really, other than, you know, I'm really thankful for the luck that was given to me by, I don't believe in fate or God or anything like that, but I don't know, I just got lucky, really. And I'm thankful for the power of luck, Lady Luck. You know, she sort of came down and sort of said, Josh, you're having a bit of a shit time lately. Do you want some help with that? And I said, oh, yes, please. And she said, sorted, mate. There you are. You've got a YouTube channel. Oh, brilliant. Thank you. An audience. That's what I've always wanted. Great. And now I can go through, like, and comments and stuff, and people seem to take a lot out of these videos, and people appreciate what I'm saying. And, you know, I really love that, and I love the fact that people are resonating with the stuff that I'm saying, because I don't know, it's easy to get yourself feeling like you have nothing to say, like you have no interest, you have no real worldview or anything like that. And I kind of felt like that going into this channel, and I was worried after I'd made my first few videos when I felt like I'd said everything I needed to say. You know, what am I going to do? So I kind of repeat myself a few times, and in doing so, I've kind of come up with new little ideas and new worldviews and philosophies and stuff. And it's just about expanding your train of thought, you know, getting from one train of thought, hopping onto the other line, getting that train of thought to your train destination, your thought destination, and just having fun with it, really. That's the most important thing. I feel like 2024 was fun. It didn't feel like a miserable, like, grinding fucking motion. It felt nice, almost relaxing in a way. A strange way, because I live on stress, and that's going to be a video I'm going to do at some point. It was just nice, and it was probably the best year of my life, particularly for how transitional it was, compared to 2023, which was easily the worst year of my fucking life. And I never, ever want to have anything like 2023 happen again. because yeah, it was just shit through and through. I'm not going to go into why, because it's too personal. Yeah, this is basically it. This is probably the most personal, confessional fucking video that I've done yet. Someone in the comments asked what accent I've got. And it just made me think, because I feel like I sounded a bit Australian when I said that last sentence. I don't know what my accent is. I feel like it's like got a few hints of Northern in it. I don't know where from. Hey, hello, doggy. Please don't take a piss on my camera. So he's a nice dog. We got another dog coming along. Just trying to, yeah, so, you know what? Because the dog's in the way, let's wrap it up. Thank you very much, everybody, for watching this. Hope you have a good 2025. I'm sure your 2025 will be pretty good. The dog's really cute, but you can only see it in silhouette. I get the privilege of actually seeing the proper dog. It's a white dog, but you probably only see a black dog because you're seeing it in silhouette form. And yeah, thank you very much for watching, everybody. I hope your 2025 is stellar. I hope your 2024 was good. I hope your 2025 is even better. Yeah, that's basically it from me. Thank you very much for watching this video, everybody. Thank you for sitting through to the end of my my ramble. And yeah, take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Hey up, everybody. My name's Joshua Morrison, director of Johnny Mozzer's Lessons in Confidence. Today, I want us to do a little review of the Canon FS100, which is a very sort of 20-year-old digicam, camcorder type thing. It's quite small. This is it right here. It's a nice little thing. I just kind of got given it. My parents were going to get rid of it, and I said, nah, don't get rid of it, I'll have it. And so they just gave it to me. They had to root around, try and find the charger. Because it doesn't take normal charge things. It kind of looks like a USB-C, like the old USB-Cs. You know, the sort of thing that you would plug into like your PS3 controller or whatever, but it's not. It's a little bit different and it's unique to this. And this is the problem with stuff from 20 years ago, is everything has its own charger. Everything does things in a different way. And that was one good thing about USB and all that sort of stuff, is it just kind of conglomerated it all into one big thing. So now, you know, a charger for this also charges that, and a charger for that also charges this. And that's quite nice. I like the fact that we can do that. Let me just check, there's an SD card in there. So the SD card is there. I've got a 32 gigabyte one in there, which is way more than this thing would ever need. What I'm gonna do, I'm gonna start recording. 3, 2, 1. There you are. So this is what it kind of looks like. Well, that's the camera setup. So you can see that I'm sat on the other side of this little path. Here's the path, right? That should give you a bit of an idea. I've got it set to slow zoom. You don't have to have it set to slow zoom. You can set it to whatever zoom you want. You can have fast zooms, you can have slow zooms. I like the slow zooms. Slow, dramatic zoom-ins. This is the camera that is filming the main video that films all the Johnny Mozzer videos. Looks like that. And this is how I do all the video recordings. I just prop it up on something. Sometimes I think you might be able to see it actually. It's propped up on the lens cover, right? You see that little black bit down there? That's the lens cap, and I've just got the camera sat on that. So that looks quite cool, and that's how far it can zoom in. I can see the people on that bus, right? That bus is pretty far away. I'm just gonna stop recording, and I'm gonna show you. It can flip all the way around, which is quite cool. And what you do, if you want to make it zoom in faster, you go into the menu, and then there's a thing called zoom speed. And I'll have it set to variable for this, right? So let's bring it back, and 3, 2, 1. And that's how fast it can zoom. It can zoom in really quick if you wanted it to. And it focuses pretty well. Like, that is pretty in focus. That looks good. Now, obviously, it helps that these videos are in 4:3 anyway, so this kind of fits in with it. If you were going for a very modern sort of look, you know, this isn't going to get you that. It's not going to get you the clean, refined thing. But it can do that. It can just zoom in on stuff. Do you know how far away that Oxfam is? I can barely read that in real life. The other day, I had a friend around, right? And he was showing me something on my computer. And it involved a lot of small bits of text. And so I was laying on the bed and I was just looking at it through this, zoomed in, and I could read the text through this instead of actually having to get up and go look at it. It's brilliant. I can just zoom in on whatever. Let's see, this guy here. That's pretty good. You know, like, that's a close-up. This is how far away he actually is. It's miles away. I can get right in. How cool is that? That's a face, that's a close-up, mate. It's not really, like, you can also put it on a, it's got one of those little screw things at the bottom, so you can put it on a tripod. I like putting it on tripods. It helps give it, because obviously right now it's a bit, it's a bit shaky and stuff, right? But if you wanted to just maybe prop it down on this, right, let's see how that looks. That looks good. You know, you can make something out of that. You can do stuff with this. Whoosh. What I really like, and I'll try and remember to put some footage of this in, so that's just to remind me to actually put footage in. If you're on a bus, you can just prop this up against the window, and it will, as a sort of, it moves like that because the bus is obviously moving, right? So the camera is technically moving like that, very smooth motion, because the tires of the bus are basically acting as a giant dolly, right? And you can get some really cool, quite zoomed in stuff that feels fairly smooth overall. And it's something that I'm still working out the kinks of, but it's an awful lot of fun. And you can get some good results out of it. And I plan on doing a music video out of it. I've already filmed a couple music videos using this, just like bits of archive footage, right? I can see the license plate on that BMW that's way, way far away. I can't even really see it in real life now. It's just gone down that other road, right? It's brilliant. And just to give you an idea, right? You can also sort of use it as a selfie camera, you know? Hey, everybody. My name is YouTuber number 9006, and today I'm going to introduce you to my life as a vlogger. Smash the like button and press the like button, or else. Right? You can do that sort of thing with it. It's brilliant. You can just walk around doing that. You'll look like a mentalist, but people do that. They like to walk around, like, talking into the camera, like, hey, guys. What's going on, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So you can have fun with it. This is 40 quid, right? If you want to buy these on eBay, I didn't, I just got it off my parents. But if you buy it on eBay, £40, right? What's that, $50, $60 or something like that? 50 euros, something like that? And you could probably get them cheaper than that. And you don't need to get this exact one either. You go to a charity shop or like an old cash converters or something, right? They're going to have something like this probably for like 10, 20 quid. Right. The point here isn't to get the best looking shot, the best looking camera. It's not to get the best looking footage. But I like the optical zoom. That's why I wanted this. Because it can do that. And my current, like, HD cinema camera can't do that, right? But this can. So certain things have their pros and they have their cons. This makes everything look like it came out of, like, the late 90s or the early 2000s. I like filming stuff to, if I want to make it look a bit like David Brent's The Office. The UK version of The Office, not the American one. I like series one of The American Office, but I don't like the rest of it. I just thought it got a bit too American-y, sort of sitcom-y. It's just a bit irritating. But it's just brilliant, this camera, because it can give you that exact look. And it can do the little slow zooms. Imagine, like, there's something awkward going on over there. Oh, awkward face. And then back zoom out, whoosh, like that. You know? You can have so much fun with it. You can really do an awful lot with this camera. I'm going to stop recording now, right? So, yeah, I would really recommend getting one of these. The on button's here, and you do the little zoom in with this thing here. There's a display battery info thing there. You charge it by plugging the dongle, which connects to your AC outlet, or the plug in the wall goes into that there, right? You leave that there, go out for a couple hours, come back, it'll be charged. It can do pictures as well, but I don't think the pictures are very good. It's got a little flashlight on it, which I've never needed, but if you did need it, it would be quite useful. If that was sort of, like, if you were doing cave exploring or something, I could imagine that working quite well for you. It's got a mic jack as well. I could technically plug the lav mic into this. In fact, oh no, I don't have the TRS to TRRS converter with me. Maybe I'll do another video at some point testing that, seeing if I can make that work. I'm just trying to think what else is on here. It's got fast forward buttons and stuff like that. In fact, fast forwarding through clips on this is actually easier than on my fucking cinema camera, which costs like 20 times the price of this. So I think that's a con. There's a USB thing. It looks like the same USB thing that they have on the PS3 controllers. There's a reset button which has a little hole in it. I don't really know what that does. There's a photo button here, so if you want to take the photos, you can do that. The record button's here, and this, you know, you can tighten this a little bit. I think I've got it tightened all the way, and it still feels a wee bit loose. But then I have thin hands. If you're a fatter person, maybe it'll work better for you. I don't know. Maybe it's in all the way. I can't tell. I can't be bothered to figure it out. This isn't like some like technical review or anything. This is just to show you what this camera can do and sort of tell you, get something like this because they're fun. They're nice. I like them. And it's nice to have something that takes you back to the past a little bit. Because nowadays, everything gets filmed on fucking phones, doesn't it? You film everything on this, right? And everything just looks the same. You go on TikTok or you go on YouTube or whatever, and every video looks the same. Well, you can't go on TikTok anymore. They banned it today, didn't they? So everything just looks the same, and it's just a piss take. I think what you should do is maybe not even this. Find your own path. Maybe you don't have to get this, but get something. Get something a bit weird, right? Something that makes you stand out, right? And that's basically the video. Little review of this and a little message just... get yourself something weird, because this is dead, dead cheap, and it's fucking brilliant. And you can make some proper films on this if you wanted to. And I plan to at some point. But obviously lean into the vibe of whatever kind of visual aesthetic the camera in question will actually provide to you. That's just common sense, really. Yeah, that's it, really. Thank you very much for watching the video. Please leave your comments below if you've had experience with this Canon FS100. And what would you say is a better version of this camera that does the same kind of stuff, but maybe it does 720p instead of 360p. Maybe it does 40x optical zoom instead of 38. Maybe it's cooler. Maybe it's a bit cheaper. Whatever. Just recommend some cameras, right? And that's about it. So thank you very much for watching. Have a great rest of the day. Keep filming stuff. Keep making stuff. And yeah, have fun with it. And take care, everybody. Bye-bye.